that they might have life and more abundantly. Come to him believing, hearken to his call. All from him receiving, give to him your all. Jesus will accept you when to him you flee. He will grant his blessing more abundantly. More abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. Let's sing the chorus again. More abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life. More abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, that they might have life and more abundantly. Praise the Lord. Praise God. The Lord bless you all tonight, and I give everyone a warm welcome in their service this evening in the name of the Lord. And I better get the disclaimer in right away. If these glasses turn brown or green, don't be panicking. I won't know if they're turning, but you will, because you're looking at me. But I got these made, two pairs, one for outside and one for the inside. But the inside ones, they were scratched when I went to get them, so they've been sent back. So the wife told me tonight, don't warn them, don't warn them. But I'm wearing them anyhow. So I don't know if they'll turn green or brown, and I'm not worried either. As long as I can see out of them. But praise God. Yule says I look like the mafia. And somebody else. I'll not mention the other boy's name. But praise the Lord. The Lord bless you all. I want tonight just to read from Luke chapter 5. And I had a friend, and this man took me to meetings many, many years ago, and I got saved after a mission. And the wee man did the mission, thought the mission was a failure. I was the only one got saved, and they called that wee man Robert McCluskey. He passed on to be with the Lord about a year ago. But anyhow, this man rang me. I don't hear from him very often. He rang me anyway. And he gave me a scripture. And I could not get away from the scripture he gave me. And it took a hold of me. And he mentioned something in it. And I never had seen it before. And I've heard nobody preach on it. But it's a scripture everybody's preached from. So I was struck with this. And I've been thinking about it ever since. Studying it. And I've read this and that on it. And none of the people that I read about on it mentioned it either. And I'm not telling you what it is to near the end of the message. You might know already. You might not. I don't know. Some of you might, but it's not important. But just let's see what the Lord will give us tonight. And I don't have a lot of notes tonight. I had just wrote down some places to make a comment, because I want this just to come from what I feel the Lord's shown me. Praise God. Let's read from verse 1 of Luke chapter 5, and this is one of the first, or the beginning of the miracles. We know he did many different miracles. This is one of the many miracles that the Lord did. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now it's important that you know that lake, because it's not long after this he crosses it, and he delivers a man that's possessed with demons. This is the same lake. Verse 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Some commentaries say it was starting to break, or it wasn't fully broke. But the Bible says it break. Now, whether it's fully broke or partly broke, it was broke. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships. And the Bible calls them ships, not boats. So I don't know how big they were really, but the Bible here in King James calls it a ship. And they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink, when Simon saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. They were in business with him. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all, and they followed him. Let us pray again tonight, and Sister Eileen wants to thank everyone that's been praying. Continue praying. And me and Sharon went to see her last night. She's looking well. And we had a time of fellowship with her. And just keep praying. And if you have a need tonight, while every head's bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand up to the Lord tonight. The Lord bless you. And the Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we praise you for your gift, the gift of your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we approach you tonight reverently through the name that you've set far above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we plead the merits of your precious blood afresh in our lives and afresh over this house tonight, and we pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to help me, and I thank you that you will. Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll move in every man and every woman in this house tonight and speak to them. Open to us thy own word and speak to us from the word of God. Touch souls in this house and those that would listen in. Save the lost, we pray, and touch the sick. We pray for those that are sick and those that are afflicted tonight. May the hand of the Lord touch them in Jesus' precious name. Father, we pray for Israel tonight. For your blessing, for your protection. Pray for Donald Trump tonight, for wisdom, for guidance, for protection. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll have your way in it all. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And Father, for the hands raised for needs in this room tonight. Lord, you know every need, every situation. Pray you'll meet every need and answer prayer. Bless all the nurses and all the doctors. And have your way, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. And just before I started, I'm sure everyone's heard, but Donald Trump has hit the nuclear site of Iran. And I knew he was going to do it. I'm not been smart about that. But they had fake news out, and he didn't tell them anything. He said he was considering what he's going to do. It was all planned. He knew what he was going to do. The military were already looking it out. And you see, the thing is, when you read this Bible, you cannot defeat Israel. They're God's people. And I was very near going to preach about Israel tonight, but God didn't lead me to do it. I was thinking about it. I was looking at it. But there's something in this that I believe God wants for us this evening. And this is a very simple scripture. One knows it, and it's probably for believers tonight. Now, we have before us in these verses the history of what is commonly known the miracle of the draught of fishes. And this, no doubt, is the miracle of the draught of fishes, and it is a tremendous miracle. In the account of many other miracles, this is a tremendous miracle. And this miracle shows us that the Lord's complete dominion over all animals and over all creation, he has it. That his complete dominion over all animals, his complete dominion over all creation, and the fish of the sea are as much obedient to the master as the frogs and the flies and the lice and the locusts and all the plagues were in Egypt when he called them down. And God, in the time of Moses, called down different plagues and different things on the land. God bless you, brother. On Egypt. And they obeyed him. And I don't know who this is for. This could be for me. But God is speaking to me. God is telling me that if God can speak to the fish, and God can speak to the locusts, and God can speak to the flies, and the Bible says there's not a sparrow falls, but the Lord sees it. God is the one that speaks to people. We can never make a meeting. We can never fill a meeting. We can never say we'll have 1,000 come or 100 come. It will take the hand of God and the Spirit of God to move in men and women to do that. But he's capable of doing it. I want you to get that tonight. That he's capable of doing it. Amen. And I'm going to show you, even when we limit him, he goes beyond even what we limit him to do. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 6 says these words. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heavens of heavens, which are the host, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the seas and all the things therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of the heaven worship thee. And we saw on Thursday night how the angels and how the redeemed and how the all creation fell down and worshiped the Lamb of God. Now all are its servants, and all obey his commands. The fish obey his commands. The cattle obey his commands. Everything in creation, if God wants to, they will obey his command. You know, there was a famous thing on when I was a wee lad. I used to love watching it. Tarzan. Who remembers Tarzan? Come on now. Swung through the tree in a pair of trunks. But the thing I remember about Tarzan, when Tarzan got in trouble, Tarzan put his two hands up and he went, "Oi, oi, oi, oi." Now I'm not sounding it like he sounded it. But he made a noise and all the elephants came, and the hippos and the lions, and they all came to help out Tarzan. And I, Tarzan was a type of Adam before the fall, wasn't it? I know it was a story. But I want you to know, when God calls, all the animals do come. And when God speaks, all the animals do come. Now, I'm not going to jump the gun to slip in some things here. I'm going to hold back a bit yet. You see, all in Matthew 8, if you went on, and I told you, and to Nazareth, he crosses over. And when you go to chapter 8, it's another miracle, because Jesus falls asleep in the boat. And the winds and the storms come, and he stands up and he rebukes the winds, and the waves obey him. Everything must obey his voice. And no matter what we're going through, we will not go through anything more than what God permits us to go through and what God permits the devil to do. God can stop him at any given moment, at any given time. And when we read Revelations, the angels were told, that's it now. Hold back. It's not the time yet. And I tell you, God, the winds and the waves obeyed him. And even the very demons, in a man that was possessed, and in another place there was two men possessed, them demons obeyed the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they not only obeyed him, but they recognized who he was, the anointed one, the Holy One of God. And they came out of that man. And not only did they come out, they wanted to go into the swine. But they couldn't go into the swine till Jesus gave them permission to do it. And I tell you, not only has the devil to obey him, but anything he's going to do, he needs permission to do it. There's a real similarity between these miracles worked at the beginning of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, and also we find after his resurrection. There's another similar miracle just before he goes to heaven. Now keep your finger in Luke. I'm coming back to Luke, but I want to read this in John 21, verse 1 to 12. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto him, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Pause for a moment. Simon Peter had stopped fishing after this first miracle. But somehow between that first miracle and after Jesus went to the cross and is risen from the dead, he's got discouraged and he's back fishing. And there's a lot of people leave things. But somewhere along the road they get discouraged and to go back to the thing they left. But I tell you, this takes another visitation from the Lord and he's going to leave it again. And I tell you, when Peter leaves it this second time, you will never ever read again in your Bible of him going back to it. You will read of a tremendous change in him. And you will read, for the Lord says to him, do you love me? And he says, I love you. And he keeps asking him. And he says, you know I love you. And you know what happened on the day of Pentecost for Peter. And you know how the Lord used Peter. And many would see Peter as a failure. And Peter didn't fully obey many times, perhaps, what he should have done. But God still loved him. And God still used him. And many times we let the Lord down and we fail him. But he still loves us and he still wants to use us and he still wants to do for us, even when we fail him, far above what we can think or even ask of him to do. Here in verse 3, and Simon Peter saith unto him, go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. See, the rest will follow. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians sometimes. They head off somewhere and they don't think, but others follow. And they went forth and entered in the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So this was a wasted fishing trip. And this first fishing trip was also a wasted fishing trip. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom we are not able, therefore that disciple, verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto him, Peter, it is the Lord. So this is after the resurrection. He doesn't even know the Lord until the Lord reveals himself to him. And you know, on the road to the mass, they didn't know who he was until he revealed himself to them. And I want to tell you in this service tonight, even though we're saved and even though we're walking with the Lord and even though we're praying and even though we're in church, we need the Lord to reveal himself again, tell every one of us. Amen. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what this Bible's talking about. Many times we can think we're walking with the Lord, but we're not where the Lord wants us to be. And we need a fresh revealing of the Lord to ourselves. And the Lord can do that. Now, I don't know if you're getting this, but I'm getting it. And Peter certainly got it. And I tell you, Simon Peter heard it. And Simon Peter, the Bible says, was naked. And he cast his fisherman's coat about him. And he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes. It wasn't wee fishes, but there were great fishes. 153, and an old preacher many years ago said in that part of the land, in that place where they fished, he said there was 153 different species of different kinds of fishes, and the Lord gave them one of every single species of fish, of different kinds of fish. He gave them one of every type out of the lake. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I believe it could be. Because red and yellow, black and white, every single one is precious in the Lord's sight. And I tell you, he drew them fishes. And yet the net was not broken. So in the other place the net was broken, but this net was not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing it was the Lord. And I tell you this, I know that he asked them to bring them fish. But the Bible says when he got there, he had already fish cooking. And I want to know how he got the fish that was cooking. But I want you to know that this is the Creator. I want you to know that all things are made by him and for him, and that he's able to make fish. He doesn't need a fish or net or anything to do it, but he uses you and he uses me. And we should rejoice that God wants to use us and God wants to send us. And even when we fail him, and even when we don't do exactly what he tells us to do, he still loves us. He doesn't condemn us. He still uses us. And he sends us again and again. And we might have toiled all night, but the Lord says, cast again. One more time. Cast again. Now in both these miracles, these are tremendous miracles of provision of a draught of fishes. And you remember these men are fishermen. And this is a tremendous miracle of fish. And I tell you, I don't know how many fish these men caught in a week or in a month. But I want to tell you, this would have been their provision before the Lord called them and they left it. This was their provision. And the Lord gave them more in this one fishing trip than they'd gotten a long time. And they'd fished all night and they'd caught nothing. And I know that feels like you can preach for a long time and nobody comes and the devil wants you to quit and everybody wants you to quit. And you'd be surprised at the so-called Christians that will come and tell you to your face, you should forget about it and just go somewhere else. But Jesus never said that. Now when you look carefully again at our original text tonight, verse 4 and verse 5, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep. Let your nets down for a draught. Now I want to tell you, a draught of fishes can't be numbered. I want to tell you this evening, if you were to go on, I don't know if you've ever, I know there's programs about fishing today. I know that. There's programs about fishing, and a lot of fishing boats today have computerized things on board, and them computerized systems they have on board, they can go out into the deep sea and they can contact a massive shoal of fish. And they say when you hit a real proper shoal of fish that it's like rain falling on the water. But I want to tell you that they've fished all night, because they fished all night because it was shallow where they were fishing, and they were able to catch the fish in the shallow waters at night. And they never fished out in the deep. They fished at night and they fished in the shallow waters. But the Lord tells them to launch out in the deep waters. Not in the shallow waters, but in the deep waters. And I believe that the Lord Jesus knew exactly where the shoal of fish was. And I'm going to go even further. If there wasn't a shoal of fish in Galilee, he just made a shoal specially for them to catch. He knew where they were. And he knew exactly if they went out, that when they threw the net out, they were going to come on that shoal of fish. Now let's see someone that almost everybody completely misses. Simon is tired here and he's fished all night and the Lord's sending him again. But this time, notice verse 4, launch out in the deep. Now Peter was a real fisherman. Peter knew how to fish. Now, I want you to understand this. This is the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And I want you to understand that Peter is a specialist fisherman. He's a real fisherman. Jesus is a carpenter of Nazareth. And he's coming and he's telling this man that's a specialist in fishing how to fish. And I know some of our attitudes. If somebody come to tell us how to do things, we'd want to tell them how to do it. We wouldn't have time to listen, many of us. But Simon Peter, because of the Lord, he's going to do it. But he doesn't do everything God tells him to do. Now you might think he did, but I don't believe he did. But I'm not condemning him because he launched out. But I'm just going to hold that thought for a moment. Launch out in the deep. Now Peter's a real fisherman. You know, they knew all these things in Galilee at night. Shallow waters where the fish, and during the day, fish would move into deep waters where it would be much more difficult for to catch them. Now, this is so important when you look at verse 4, let down your nets for a draught. Now, your King James Bible reads, let down your nets. Your King James Bible doesn't read, let down your net. It reads, let down your nets. But I've looked at almost every other version of the Bible, and this is the only Bible where it says nets on net. It makes a difference in the nets on the net. And all the rest of the versions don't make the difference. But the Lord's told them, let down your nets. But he didn't let down his nets, he let down a net. Because I don't think he thought anything was going to happen. And he was shocked when it did happen. And that's why he fell at Jesus' knees. And that's why he cried out, I'm a sinful man, Lord, have mercy upon me. He wasn't expecting what happened. And are we really expecting? We talk about praying prayers of faith. We talk about revival. We talk about moves of God. We talk about God doing things. But are we really expecting? Are we going with a net or nets? What's our expectations? Oh, but nothing's happened for years. He's fished all night. He's weary. He's tired. He wants to go home to bed. But the Lord says, one more time, cast your nets down. Now, if anybody else had told him, he wouldn't have done it. And I want to put this to you. If anyone else comes to us and says, God's going to do this or that, you won't believe it. But the Lord can come. And the Lord can speak. And when it's thus saith the Lord, it will happen. And Peter had a thus saith the Lord moment. And he was told, let down your nets. Now you read verse 4 and 5 carefully. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. But here's verse 5. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. God never said, let down the net. God said, let down the nets. If he had went with the nets, the mountain had broke. But he went with a net. It wasn't big enough for what God wanted, and it broke. You might agree with that. It'll make no difference to me. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. God said nets, not net. There's a difference in nets than net. And I tell you, we limit God. We limit God. We are not really expecting some time for God to do things. Because the doctor said different, or some other preacher said different, or there's another assembly of believers, and their preacher doesn't preach it like that. I don't care how they preach it or how they believe it. I believe God. Amen. Yes. I believe God will do exactly what he says he would do. God says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. And Malachi 3, verse 5, Hebrews 13 and 8, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can still save the multitude. I tell you, they had fished and got nothing. But they weren't working with fishing. They weren't working with just some ordinary fisherman here. They were working with the creator of all creation that made every fish. The Lord never said, let down the net singular, but he said, let down the nets plural. Now we read in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net. This is other scriptures, casting a net singular into the sea, for there were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed them. So they had more than one net. But they were working with one. Mark 1, verse 16-18. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you become preachers of men, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now you might say, Brother Tom, they could only use one net at a time. Well, I don't believe the Lord was stupid. And if you think he was, I'll disagree with you on that. For he wasn't. He's all-knowing. And he never said, cast in your net. He said, your nets. And I'm going to tell you, the NIV version doesn't say it like this. And all the different versions don't say it like this. But the King James Bible says it like this. And I believe the King James Bible. Do you believe it? And if the Bible says nets, it was nets and it wasn't a net. And if Peter had one net and the one net he had broke, and not only did the one net break, he had to back it onto his partners, and the Bible talked about two ships and they had to come over, and the two ships got together to get the net in, and the one net filled till it broke, was sinking the two boats. The two of them were sinking. So God gave them that great a draw to fishes. But they went with one net when they should have went with the nets. I tell you, we cannot limit God. What God can do. You know, Reinhard Bonnke was walking along one day. And I know Brother John mentioned this once. And he knows this story even better than me. But I'm briefly telling you. He needed money and different things. And he asked the Lord for 1 million souls. And I tell you, God gave them to him. He seen them coming. He went around with wee tents and offering. He had wee tents. And he'd put wee tents up, and him and his wife Annie would play the accordion, and they'd sing, and they went out on bicycles. Brother Laura and Brother George were giving tracks out, and they'd tent meetings, and there was some success. But at a Harare convention, a man with a beard that looked like my dad prophesied over him. And the Spirit of God said to Reinhard Bonnke, the Lord will no more restrict thee, but the Lord will anoint you, and you'll see the millions come. And he saw it. Now, I know a lot of people boo-hoo it and all the rest. That'll make no difference. It happened. That's the thing about it. And I tell you, I remember meeting a pastor in Africa. And he told me his testimony. He was in jail. And he was almost 2 miles away from one of Bunky's meetings. But Bunky used to have them big, great, massive speakers. Christ for all nations. Up. And the sound could travel for miles. And he heard the gospel in jail from a speaker from miles away. And he got saved. And he served the Lord. We can clearly see that the nets in both these scriptures, not net. And our reading in verse 5 and 6, and Simon answered him and said, Master, we have toiled all night. We have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. But the Lord said, nets. And I'm not condemning him. He was obedient, and he let down the net. I tell you, there's a lot of people that wouldn't even let down the one net. Never mind all the nets. At least he went and let the net down. And I tell you, you know this story. The Lord says you're going to fish for men after this. You're not but fishing for fish no more. You're going to leave your nets. And you know all them gospels, every one of them tells that they left their nets and they followed the Lord. And after the crucifixion, they're discouraged. Their master's been crucified, they've been left, but the Lord appears to them on many occasions. And he does another miracle with fishes. And he fills the net again. And he has he dines with them on the shore with a fish. Cooking it on the shore, fresh fish. Let me say this I don't believe Simon Peter really expected this to happen. I don't believe he did. Because he had fished all night and taken nothing as a fisherman. He probably thought this won't work. Now keep in mind, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, because the Lord asked him to do it. And that singular break. Now when you get right up to verse 7, now this was such a haul of fish, it almost sunk both ships. And the Bible calls them ships. So I don't believe it was just a wee tiny weeny boat. These were ships. And the number of the fish here is not mentioned, but it says a great multitude of fishes. The Bible says then began the boats to sink. Verse 8 and 9. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished. So that lets me know he didn't really expect it to happen. But when it happened, he was astonished. And I tell you, God can do something that can astonish every single person in this room. Now you might sit and you might say, "Oh, I'm walking with the Lord. Nothing will astonish me." I want to tell you that God can do a thing in this land that will astonish everybody. And if you think he couldn't, you're not following the same God I'm following. Because God's a God that can do far beyond what we can think or even ask him to do. God's able to do it. I tell you, when Moses brought them children of Israel out, and they came to that Red Sea, there was nobody in that crowd said, "We'll just go over here." They didn't say that. They were beat. They were defeated. Moses said, "Stand still." God spoke to them. And God parted the Red Sea right up on both sides like a wall, and they went over on dry ground. That's the supernatural power of God. And if you get nothing in this service tonight, I want you to get that God's a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural power and authority, and he can do far above what you think or ask. He can save the person you think can't be saved. He can move in a town that somebody says God couldn't move there. That's the place he can move. The drier the sticks are, the better. They'll go up quick when the fire hits them. Verse 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes, the ticking up." All the work, this also lets us see, all that we can do of our own endeavor can come to nothing. We can work on it till we're tired. But if the Lord will come in a few moments, and he speaks to us, and he moves upon us, God can do more in a moment than we can do in a lifetime. We need the Lord. Simon needed the Lord. But I'll tell you this now. Don't forget this much. The Lord used Simon. He used him. If the Lord can use Simon, the Lord can use you and me. For he's no respecter of persons. And we need the Lord, and the Lord needs us. We are his hands and feet. Amen? The Lord done more and above Simon. What he expected. Yet he only let down the net. All he did was obey and let down the net. God's not asking you to catch a fish. And maybe this is just for me, this message. And I'm preaching to myself. But I cannot catch a fish. And if you think you can, God bless you, but you can't. The Lord's not asking you to catch any fish. He'll do that part. All the Lord has asked you to do is go out in the deep and let the net down. And you feast in the shallow waters, but God sends you in the deep waters. And launch out in the deep. Don't be afraid to launch out into the deep. For God will work in the deep. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." And I tell you, Jesus is a physical man. He's not here tonight, but the Holy Spirit is. And when you read the book of Acts, it says all that Jesus began is continued through men and women by the power of the Holy Ghost. All that Jesus began, he needs men and women here on earth to continue, but we need him. We need him. Look how Simon fell at Jesus' knees. And I tell you, he knew he had received the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ, he had received it. Now, many times somebody can give you a word, nothing happens. But I'll tell you, when the Lord gives you a word, there'll be a manifestation to that word. Interpretation is manifestation. Did you hear me? Interpretation is manifestation. When God speaks, God will manifest the thing he speaks. And God said, let there be light, there was light. When God said, let a man come forth, Adam came forth from the dust of the ground. And God can speak a thing. And a brother mentioned the other night, spoken word. And God can do it. And it can happen. And even if we halfway believe it, we'll still be astonished when God does it. Because it's God. Amen. Still, God honored the word. And he honored the response. He went with a net. I sincerely believe if you had let down more nets, God would have filled them. I believe he'd have filled them. I believe the manner of many he would have let down, God would have filled them. Now, Brother Tom, why do you believe that? Because there's another scripture that said, bring your vessels, not a few. And they didn't matter how many vessels they brought, God filled them with oil. And the more they brought, the more he filled them. And then there's another scripture when he's told, shoot the arrows. And he didn't tell him, shoot one or two and stop. He told him to keep on shooting the arrows for the arrows of the Lord's deliverance. And I tell you, God can do a thing, and God can continue to do a thing, and continue to do a thing, and continue to do a thing, because God never wearies. Peter might have been wearied. He made a feast all night. But the Lord Jesus says one more time, out in the deep. He says, Lord, it's more or less saying, Lord, only it's you, I wouldn't do it, but because it's you, I'm going to do it. He was obedient. And he threw out the net. And it break. That's what you call over and abundant. Do you know what over and abundant means? Overabundance. Overabundance doesn't fill this glass. If you fill this glass, you fill it. Over and abundant doesn't fill this glass. Over and abundant fills this glass and it runs over the top. And it keeps running over the top. And it keeps running over the top. And if you have someone to go underneath this glass, it'll fill it, whatever's underneath it, because that's what over and abundant says. And God can give us over and abundant, because His word says He can. And He'd done it for Peter. And I like Peter's attitude. I'd have done the same as Peter. I'm not saying why I would have done no different than Peter. I'd have fell at the Lord's knees. Just the same as Peter. Peter reverenced the Lord. He knew it was a miracle from the Lord. May we never limit God. I'm closing on this scripture tonight. Psalm 78 verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. God doesn't want us to turn back tonight. God doesn't want you to get involved in anything that's going to take you away from the work of God. Hear me this evening, what I'm preaching to you. God wants you to be involved with someone that will bring you closer to Him, that will keep you in fellowship with Him, that the Lord can bless you, that the Lord can use you, that you can be in the place that the Lord wants you to be in. And you might think of nothing to offer, of nothing to give. But let me tell you, there was a little boy who thought he had nothing to offer and nothing to give. And he bought a boy's lunch, but a boy's lunch fed 5,000 in one place, not counting the women and children. And it fed 7,000 in another place, not counting the women and children. And 12 baskets, what remained, were took up. Just bring yourself, and God can use you. Bring yourself. God can use you. Let us yield ourselves to the Lord. Let us be available. Even though we might have toiled all night. I've been preaching for a long time. I don't mean tonight. I mean for years. When I spoke to that man the other day and we went back on the night I got saved, it's 41 years ago when I really got saved. 41 years ago when I met with the Lord. And many times I feel tired, and many times I feel weary. But I want you to know that this very scriptures enthused me, because if the Lord could do it with Peter, the Lord can do it with me. Now, I'm not Peter, but I'll tell you, he's still Jesus. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to get our sister to come in a moment and play, and Brother Mark to come and sing, and we'll be back again, the Lord willing, Thursday night, and Sunday will be the last service for a few weeks. We'll be here. We're off to New Zealand. But I want to tell you that I'm hungry to see people saved. I've never lost the hunger. I don't know sometimes how to go about it, what to do. Peter here was a fisherman. He was a genuine fisherman. Sometimes we can be preachers, but we need the Lord. We need the Lord to come on the scene. We need instructions from the Lord. But brother, you preached instructions tonight. Yes, but the Lord visited Peter.
Amen.
And there was a result. A result that couldn't be hid. A result that couldn't be hid. Did you hear me? A result that could not be hid. I'm going to pray. If you would say, Pastor, will you pray for me tonight? Slip your hand up to the Lord. And if someone's listening in, and if you're not saved, all you have to be saved is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. Repent of them. And call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then come and get baptized in true Christian baptism, according to Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll be saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. We know that your word will not return void. How you move with Peter. Lord, I'm not saying anything. I don't want to be saying anything negative about Peter tonight. But the emphasis is on you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you'll take what we've got and you'll use us. As we yield to you afresh, Lord Jesus, tonight, take what we've got and use us for your work, for your glory. Pray for the hands that's raised in this house tonight. Father, that you'll touch the heart, that you'll meet every need. Move in men and women. Move in our sons and our daughters. And all that's near and dear to us that's still not saved, we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to them and save them and draw them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Heavenly Father, bless the remaining services. Help us, I pray. Lead us, I pray. Bless our brother Mark tonight as he comes to lead in song, and Sister Alva on the organ, and any others that take part, just bless them. And all the children, bless them. Lord, we pray for Brother Gary. You'll bless him tonight in Nova Street. Make him a blessing. Bless him and use him. And may somebody's life be touched for the gospel tonight. Father, we acknowledge you tonight. We reverence your lovely name. And we say, Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Amen.
Above what we can ask or think. We think of those laid aside sick tonight. We pray for your mercy and for your grace upon them. And for your mighty touch. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Mark comes this evening.
Amen. Well, thank the pastor for the service tonight. You know, that's an encouraging word. Let's just think of that wee course. God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what none other can do. You know, it's a real God. It doesn't matter. God can do it. He can do it. If he decides to do it, he can do it. And I was just thinking there too, when Tommy mentioned Israel at the start, we see that Israel have took the offensive and then they've struck Iran and now America's involved. You know, when you really think about the book of Revelations, and we know how they talk about the, you know, in the midst of the week they have a peace, and in the midst of the week then the deal will be broke. But you ever think, well, in the midst of the, there's going to have to be peace. You know, as long as Iran want to annihilate Israel, there won't be peace. So maybe we're seeing in history, we're maybe seeing right now, I'm not saying it is, but you could see, be seeing motions in the right now happening that could bring forth that peace. You've got a Pope from America. You've got a lot of influential people in America that are Roman Catholic, that are, will have favor with the Roman Catholic system and church. We know that they're going to have to bail America out at some stage. We've seen now, you imagine if Iran, those nuclear threats took away, maybe even a regime change. You know, the majority of people in Iran don't want that Muslim, that regime in there. They want it changed. If you look at Iran from the 60s and 70s, it was a completely different country. It's not like what it is now. We're living in history, in the Bible. This is all, it's all been foretold. We're living it out at the minute. You know, it shows you how late we are. We're right at the end of the end days. You know, and God, he knows what he's doing. We'll sing that when the Comforter has come. We'll spread the tidings round wherever a man is found. I'm not sure the number. 227. 227 in the red book. We'll spread the tidings round wherever a man is found, wherever your human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human souls abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter. Shall this come of mine?